Warning! This program will contain massive spoilers and profanity for absolutely everything we discuss. Consider yourself warned. Everybody, and welcome back to Chilling Amongst the Mangoes, the stickiest review show on the internet. I'm CJ Welker.
I'm Gage Topolsky.
And Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
I'm surprised that you even used the word cringe in your mini review.
Okay, so cringe wasn't the right word. Confusion? I don't know. That the fifth act of this movie, like, hit this line for me where on first viewing, I could not tell if I liked it.
Here's what I think happened. You saw a combination of a bunch of things that you loved, of Iron Man suit, Transformers, and Power Rangers aesthetics, and were concerned that someone had read your mind and tailored this movie for you, and therefore you naturally backed away from it. And I was thinking about this on the way home, and I was just like, this is too
perfect. I think it was more so cute aggression, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
But like action aggression. Like, I'm just like, this makes me so pumped. I don't know if I like it.
I
do like it. Okay. On second viewing, it's dope as fuck and it absolutely rips.
All right.
Yeah, so I obviously watched this twice now.
Mm-hmm.
Did
we say what we watched?
Transformers Rise of the Beast.
Okay,
yeah, I already intro'd it. If you guys haven't listened to my spoiler-free first impressions CJ Solos bonus episode, feel free and go do that because I might reference how my opinions have changed on a second viewing.
It's short. It's only
9 minutes. Yeah, it's 9 minutes long. I was actually able to keep something concise.
It's easier. I think individually, both of us can stay very concise. It's just when you put us in a room together, it's
chaos flows.
Yes.
Also, I did like fully. So, little backstory on why that happened. Mm-hmm. I had gotten out of the movie and let Gage know, and then said, "Hey, do you want like bullet point like?" Like, no spoilers, just, like, expectation setter.
Mm.
And that just turned into me basically writing a little script for, like scripting out literally, like, word for word the episode that ended
when
up.
When I listened to it, I was like, oh, you already told me all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on second viewing, I like this movie more.
I'm glad. Yeah.
I'm less disappointed the second time, and I don't think I was disappointed at all the first time.
Mm.
I think it's more so that it wasn't. It was different from what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. It didn't necessarily exceed expectations, but it met them at the very least.
Okay.
It was just different.
One thing I noticed about this movie that was like, it didn't hit me until like near the end of the film. There's no military in this.
No.
There's not. Military industrial complex.
No, there isn't. It's great.
There's not.
Later.
Later. I mean, we'll get to that. Holy shit. But that was just like a post credits. That doesn't count for the rest of the movie.
I'm curious to know, just right up front, what did you think?
I liked it. I did. It felt like what I expected a Transformers movie should be.
Yes.
Especially okay, we haven't touched the Michael Bay Transformers on this podcast, but we've both seen it.
Yeah.
It's become a mimic.
One of us has seen it more than the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know.
I have all of them on Steelbook, in Steelbook.
Why?
Because I have to show you the Steelbooks because they're actually fucking gorgeous.
Okay, fine. Okay, in that case, that's fine. That's fine. I have ODST on Steelbook.
Yeah. I also have all of the Star Wars movies, all of the prequels and originals, and The Force Awakens only on Steelbook.
Understandable.
Because I got them all after The Force Awakens came out, and I was like, okay, I'll get the next two in this trilogy when they come out. No, I refuse. I will not give Disney any more money for those monstrosities.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So this is directed by Stephen Caple Jr., who did Creed 2.
Yeah. It looks like he did Transformers animated series called Earthspark.
Yeah,
or at least directed one or two the pilot of it.
Yeah. Earthspark is actually this... It's weird. I'm not a huge fan of it, but they have a trans Transformer.
Huh.
Or maybe it's a non-binary Transformer. I don't remember, but it, like...
I mean, they're...
It's dope.
Cool.
It's dope. I mean,
they're robots. Like, sexuality is literally a construct.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is for us, but it's, like, even more so for robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... directed by Stephen Caple Jr., who directed Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Starring, we have Anthony Ramos as Noah Diaz, Dominique Fishback as Elena Wallace, Dean Scott Vasquez as Chris Diaz. We have Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime, Ron Perlman as Optimus Primal, Peter Dinklage as Scourge, Michelle Yeoh as Air Razor, Pete Davidson as Mirage, Liza Koshy as RC, let me see, and there's a couple others, Coleman Domingo as Unicron.
Yeah, he was good in this.
Yes.
I mean, he had like a few lines, but he really sold the planet-eating
superstructure. Yes. there are others as well, but I'm not going to get into... A slight disappointment, which was there was supposed to be a single actual Decepticon in this movie that was cut for time and for brutality.
Okay.
Because apparently, like, Optimus killed him and then threw his dead body under a bridge with the dead bodies of some other Decepticons. And they were, this is all conjecture. I can't confirm this, but from what I've heard, like, they were like, that's a little dark.
Yeah.
It's like, it makes sense, but it's dark.
He rips off so many faces in the Bay films. They were like, let's roll it back a little bit.
I'm surprised how aggressive he got in this movie, too.
Yeah.
I love seeing Optimus get angry.
It doesn't sit, like, I don't even, like, from what I know about Optimus, like, he seems like, he does, like, his anger should be a silent, like, contemplative anger.
I like him that's the one thing I liked about the Bay films, as stupid as it is just give me your face as he rips off the Fallen's face, or after every single dope ass kill in the Transformers movies he's just got a one-liner like directly after it, and I fucking love it.
Okay I gotta rewatch them.
Yeah,
it's, I don't know.
Yeah, after every single one, it's so great.
Okay. So do you want to dive into this?
Yes. So.
Oh, before, one more thing with Optimus Prime. I realized this on the drive over. So you were pointing out that his face was a little weird in, like, we couldn't.
Oh, yeah. No, it's based off Peter Cullen.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, they modeled it after Peter Cullen.
Okay. I kept seeing. Oh, Spock. What's his name?
Leonard Nimoy
in it, a little bit.
A little bit, but no, they actually, like, modeled it, as much as you can model a robot face after a person.
Right.
Modeled it after Peter Cullen to try to, like, memorialize him.
Okay.
Or not immortalize him in the film, more than just being the voice.
Right.
I've seen a couple of actual, like, screen cap comparisons, and... I'm not a huge fan of this design for Optimus's face, but it's not terrible.
No, it's a little off-putting at first.
I do prefer the face from the last two Bay movies that he had.
Yeah.
If we're going non-faceplate,
right?
I do like the face that he had in Age of Extinction and The Last Knight.
Mm-hmm.
My all-time preferred is Bumblebee, where he's just got the faceplate.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this... there's also a couple things with some Optimus lines that just the line reads came out
a little off,
wonky.
Yeah.
The transwarp key, it exists and it's here.
Yeah, it was like,
it's like,
you want to take that again? Like, just like one more time, like different emphasis, like just a little bit the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllables.
Yeah.
Syllables? I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllables.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, this movie opens with a briefish narration from Optimus Primal, mm-hmm. about the Dark Lord God Planet Eater Unicron, mm-hmm. and we get a shot of Unicron in space floating towards a planet, mm-hmm. And it's there to eat the planet because that's what Unicron does. Mm-hmm. It's also after the Maximals, like main technology, which is the transwarp key, mm-hmm. Which basically creates space-time bridges,
sky lasers.
It's more sky lasers. It's
more sky lasers.
I mean, it's fine. It is what it is. Sky lasers is just a thing now.
Like, it, yeah. I'm fine with it. It's just like, I wish
that some of the sky lasers humans couldn't see.
I just wish that sky lasers would change it up with the coloration.
Yeah.
It's always the primary colors.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
give me a purple. Give me a purple sky laser.
I feel like there's at least one or two purple sky lasers, but I can't place them right now.
Give me a black sky laser.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Pure darkness. Scourge, my hunger grows.
Damn, your voice is good.
Thank you. I've actually been practicing some of my Scourge lines, too. So I'm waiting to break those out. So we get some Scorponox and a little jump ship that gets sent down to the Maximal home planet. Scorponox look dope. Mm-hmm. Scorponox is a character from G1 and a bunch of the other continuities.
Okay.
The Scorponox in the Beast Wars, like, thing, are their own, like, faction. The Scorponox faction.
Okay.
And they're kind of, they were once, like, an actual, like, big faction. And apparently they've just been reduced to scorpion bots.
Neat.
Now,
huh.
This is not a Beast Wars movie.
No.
It upsets me a little bit. I wanted a Beast Wars movie. We got the Beast Wars characters.
Mm.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
So far. I also want to apologize to any other Transformers fans out there. I realized when I was editing the Bumblebee episode, I think once or twice when I was talking about Beast Wars, I may have accidentally said Terrorcons from this movie instead of Predacons, which is what the Maximal... This is important to me.
Okay.
This is important to me.
All right. It's just like...
I know.
It's not even going in one ear and out the other. It's just like passing over me like a wave.
Yeah. No. So the Predacons were the villains in Beast Wars. The Terrorcons are Unicron's servants.
When the human characters were doing a recap of what was going on, I was like, they had to do a couple different takes just because of how ridiculous that all sounds.
Yeah. Hey, the movie knows it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Scourge gets out of the jump ship that lands on the Maximal planet as Ape Link, the leader of the Maximals at this point.
Ape Link.
His name is Ape Link.
Okay, 90s cartoon. All right, that's fine.
Here's
fine.
The thing. I do not remember Ape Link being a thing in Beast Wars. Mm-hmm. It's been 20 years since I've watched it, but I don't remember Ape Link.
Well, it's clear that, because they didn't say that name.
Yes, they did.
They did?
Yes. Oh, Primal said Ape Link.
Okay.
Ape Lincoln.
Oh my god.
I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Anyway,
but it's APELINQ. I did look it up.
CJ, oh my god. Oh my
Transformers
god.
Is dope and weird. Okay. Let's move past it.
All right.
He gives the transwarp key to Primal. Says it's time.
Yeah,
here. It's time for you to lead the Maximals. Get out of here. I'll hold off Scourge. He proceeds to die like a little bitch.
Scourge's introduction here.
Terrifying.
Oh, you just see the light coming off of him,
yeah,
like from the forest.
Yeah, the orange light from in his chest and his eyes, just the dark power of Unicron as he just casually paces through the forest.
Like, nice planet
you have
here.
A nice planet, so teeming with life.
So, okay, this was bugging me. The whole, which came first, the planet eating Transformer, mm-hmm, or Silver Surfer and...
Oh, Silver Surfer came first, okay. I'm fairly certain.
Got it.
Transformers wasn't a thing until the mid-80s.
Okay, yeah. No, that makes sense. So
and I think Unicron was specifically made for the 86 movie. I could be wrong. I don't...
The thing was, I was just getting, like, major flashbacks to...
Oh, no.
Straight
up a Galactus ripoff.
Okay.
But Transformers-ified.
Yeah.
Transformed.
No, that's the problem. I kept thinking of the fucking Fantastic Four Part 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
With the cloud.
With the fucking cloud and the fact
the
that the
anal cloud.
They baited us, too. As it was flying over Jupiter, you saw the shape of the helmet.
Yeah.
The
rectal cloud.
Sky anus.
Skanus. Ape Link tries to square up to Scourge, and Scourge just
two hits.
Leader of the Maximals gets taken out like a little fucking bitch.
Just immediately.
Just single, stab into the chest, and then big power cannon blast that just blasts his, like, fucking torso apart.
Yeah. Anyway, the others escape through a wormhole or portal. Alternate reality, or was that just, like, movement in space?
So that's interesting you bring that up. From a sci-fi perspective, mm-hmm, if you cross a space-time bridge,
uh-huh,
are you in a new reality, or are you just in a different place and time? Or is there a distinction?
It depends on if it's... Okay, if it's an Einstein-Rosen bridge.
Well, that's the thing. This movie does not go hard sci-fi.
Yeah.
So we don't know if this is a multiverse situation or if this is just a... go back into the past kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because the Maximals are from, far, far in the future.
But they said future and past in this movie.
Yes, because they traveled back into the past and now are in the past.
Okay. Okay, so we're following Back to the Future laws?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know, because this has, like... I don't know. Because then they also talk about how Unicron is trapped in a different galaxy.
That's what I think.
They don't outright explain that.
The thing is, like, the first planet we see where the Maximals are, mm-hmm, like, that looked like a future Earth with the moon that had,
yeah,
like, deteriorated into rings.
Yeah.
I love that image, but, I mean, the moon is leaving.
Yeah.
Getting further away from Earth.
So,
but
it's very possible that it is a multiverse situation.
Mm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We simply don't know.
Okay.
They are planning on doing a Beast Wars / Unicron trilogy,
mm-hmm,
which this is the first.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that they have some explanation somewhere.
Okay. Maybe it's... Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Like, it's very light on the hard sci-fi. Like,
yeah.
The aesthetics are there, but there's nothing like explaining what it is. So
I will say, if there does end up being a movie novelization, I will be reading it.
Mm.
Which I did for, I think, the first three Michael Bay movies.
I understand that they changed a lot.
Not really.
From the movie. Didn't they?
They changed some.
Third one, like, they changed the ending.
Did they? I don't know if I made it through the third one.
Okay.
I don't know if I actually finished that one. They might have.
Okay.
I don't know. Should go back and reread those.
Is my understand? Well, you know. We'll
anyway,
get to those. Yeah.
Anyway, if there is a novelization at some point, we'll do just a quick little recap of that.
Okay.
And we'll see if they have explanations for some of these things. This is not a perfect movie. It's
no.
just it's good. It's fun.
Yeah.
But
we haven't even gone through the prologue.
Jesus Christ! So they land on prehistoric Earth.
Okay.
As far as we know.
All right.
They're on past Earth.
Okay.
Day in past now. Now we cut to 1994 New York.
Yay.
We're introduced to our human protagonist, Noah Diaz, as he fixes some electronics and comforts his brother who's in pain due to having some kind of sickle cell problem.
Yeah.
Instantly, one of the most relatable and...
Yeah, just like, here's a brother.
I love this character. I love the character of Noah.
Yeah.
I love them.
He can't get a job because he used to be in the military, but got discharged because of some unspecified, he must have gone against orders or something.
Well, it sounds to me like he requested to be discharged because his brother was sick.
Oh, that's right.
That's kind of the way that it read to me, at least on the second viewing.
Yeah. No, I see that.
Yeah, because obviously they don't have a father in the picture, and the mom probably couldn't do it on her own. So
yeah, so the military was like, no, and then proceeded to stop him from getting any job ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, his commanding officer was a cock.
Yeah, and we didn't even see him. And nope. I'm like, that goes back to the fact that we didn't see the military,
yeah.
And what we did see, just like, off the side,
yeah.
Was bitter and resentful.
Yeah.
And I like that.
So he's struggling to find a job. His brother can't get treatment at the hospital anymore because they're 3 months behind on their bills. Mm. So he decides to go to Reek, one of the guys who lives downstairs, who he's buddies with, to get a job. And Reek is the worst gangster I've ever seen.
He's not a okay.
No, gangster, he's not. He's just, yeah.
He's a planner of crime who's not very good at his job.
He does like Twizzlers, though.
He does like Twizzlers. He has a very kind of relaxed take on the world.
Yeah. He's all about his chi and feng shui. So he takes a job very nervously to go jack a car from some rich people.
Yep.
At this point, we also get some cuts in between with Elena, who is an intern working at the History Museum.
Mm-hmm. On Ellis Island? I wanted to look this up, because yeah. I don't think that exists.
I feel like it's probably a something built specifically for the movie.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling... Here's the thing. In the fifth Transformers movie, Michael Bay decided it would be a good idea to drape Winston Churchill's old estate in Nazi flags for a flashback sequence.
I remember that.
So I have a feeling they were like, you know what? Let's not blow up the Museum of Natural History and let's just make a separate thing.
Okay.
I feel like that's probably what they did because Michael Bay is a cunt.
Wasn't there like a boycott in England during that? Yeah, no, I remember that.
And Michael Bay has received hate for that ever since,
yeah.
As he should.
Yeah. Okay, so the Ellis Island Museum is there. It doesn't have fucking dinosaur bones in it. It's a museum to the immigrants.
That's what I'm saying. I'm assuming it was partially conceived as the idea for that specific reason.
Right.
I feel like people would be up in arms if a movie showed the Natural History Museum getting fucking obliterated.
Yeah.
I can see some people not being happy about that.
Yeah.
You included. God, I'm so looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the Bay films, especially the one you haven't seen.
Oh, God.
That's the worst fucking movie. So anyway, she's an intern who obviously is the only one who knows what she's doing, and her boss is just taking the credit for everything.
Yep.
Because she's actually dating Art and... identifying whether or not it's fake or real, because there was a break-in with some rich person, and so for insurance purposes and all of that, to determine if the Da Vinci is real or not, which it's the only thing that is.
Mm-hmm.
And from an excavation that was in Sudan, out comes a little birdie statue with the Maximal logo insignia carved into the chest.
As well as two alien digits.
Yeah. So she immediately takes an interest, starts jotting down the little markings, and gets to work on research.
Yeah. This comes a little bit later. Like, all of the technology was very 1994-esque, except
the lasers.
What the hell were two, like...
I think they were supposed to be some kind of X-ray scanner, but I don't know. That, like I said, this movie is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that on my first viewing. That is I specifically, when it came around, like, on my second viewing, I'm like, what the fuck? I cannot, like, actually excuse this.
Yeah.
This is just blatantly, like, 2050s technology.
It was lasers. It was, like, out in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
It was like
a 3D scanner, but for X-raying things, and then it broke the thing.
But why would X-rays don't do light?
I don't know.
So it's just lasers.
It's just lasers.
So yeah,
it's like Transformers scanning cars, but it makes less sense.
All right, back to the heist.
Yeah.
Heist in it's.
A failed attempt for a get 20 grand quick scheme.
Yeah. He sneaks in to the place. He gets down to the garage. He tries to get into this Porsche.
Yeah, this blue, silver and blue Porsche. I didn't look up the exact models of the cars for this one. We just got got here from the theater.
Yeah.
It's a Porsche. It's a 90s Porsche. I believe 911. I mean, it's a 911, okay. But I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't want to talk about 911, but did the price on those go down when the towers
I think
down?
They changed the name for a couple years.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
Actually, I'm really curious.
Yeah.
Okay. So the 911 is... The 911 was the original version of this Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone since then has been actually a different model number, but still marketed as a 911.
Interesting.
So the 911 was from 1964 to 1989. 75 to 89 for the turbocharged version was the 930. 89 to 94 was the 964. 95 to 98 was the 993.
But they kept, so they just kept the marketing tied to this original car.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
99 to 04 was the 996, which was an all new body and water cooled engine for the first time. And the 997 was 05 to 2012. The 991 is 2012 to 19. And the 992 is 2019 on.
Welcome to Car Talk with a man who knows what he's talking about and the other one who just kind of sits there and listens.
To be fair, I didn't know about this. This is fully Wikipedia.
Okay, okay.
Here's the thing. I'm a car guy. When it comes to Porsches, there's so many numbers. When it comes to European cars,
there are so
many numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot keep them all straight.
Where the hell were we?
He was jacking a Porsche.
He was taking the Porsche. Yeah.
So, he tries to get in the Porsche. He unlocks the door with a little wiggle. It locks the door again. He does it again. It locks the door again. He does it again while opening the door. Door opens. He gets in. Security guard finds him and takes out his gun.
At the exact same time.
That calling all Autobots! Calling all Autobots! Because there's a big space laser that only Transformers can see.
Yeah. After she used the laser... on the bird.
Birdie go crumble.
It crumbled, revealing the half of the key.
Half of the transwarp key. All
right.
So, at this point, she freaks out. She's going to lose her job. Optimus sees the big sky laser and calls in all the Autobots to converge.
Mm.
And Mirage takes off from the garage as we see RC... and Bumblebee also converging on Optimus's position.
Here's the thing. I liked RC's design.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the lips.
Lips are weird.
The lips were weird. That and the fact that we only see her as a motorcycle for like one scene.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why didn't we see her go into motorcycle mode, build up speed, do a sweet kickflip, and then spin around?
You know, you're asking questions I really wish I had the answer to.
I just wanted to see some motorcycle fighting stuff.
Transformers motorcycle shenanigans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, they car chase commences.
Mirage fully kills... two cops?
Yeah.
Mirage fully just ices two pigs.
God.
Like, those men had families, sir.
Like, it was this, like, I watched one of the cop cars gets hit by, like, I mean, he didn't do it. They got isekai'd by truck coon. Yeah, no, he just drove in front of trucks and they got knocked out. But like,
now I'm just imagining that cop is having his own little adventure, just off in coma land. The other one, Mirage, makes like holograms of himself.
Oh, that's
to
right.
appear and then dissipates one of them, and the cop drives straight into a guardrail.
Yeah. Well, he hits the water.
He hits the water tanks, but that he's like, still he's crippled
alive.
The man
but
is
injured.
Crippled.
Yes.
The first one's in a coma, having the adventure of his life. The other one's a cripple. Thanks, Pete Davidson. This is why we can't have nice things.
In another world after a Transformer killed me.
Yeah.
All right.
Very literal anime names.
Yeah. So the ones, like, I do love during this chase. What's his name? The main character?
Noah.
He's in the car and he's realizing, okay, the car can talk to me. Fine, I can work with this. Hey, he says take the bridge, it's faster. Which is just such a New Yorker thing.
Yeah.
thing. And he's cool with the sentient car. The only the first moment where he actually kind of freaks, like, out.
So Mirage gets spun around and he has to drive in reverse.
Yeah.
And the cop starts, like, ramming him from the front. That sounds bad. and Noah's like, come on, do something. So Mirage fully transforms to be facing the correct way and then just takes off. Noah goes, nah. Nah.
I'm like this.
just nopes the fuck out of there mentally.
Yeah. They eventually ditch the cops. They stop at a warehouse.
They get to a warehouse that obviously the Autobots are kind of using as a rendezvous point.
Yeah.
He gets out of the car and is introducing himself and is... cool.
Yeah. No, I liked Pete Davidson. Here.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a weird thing to say.
Here's the thing. He's just like a good. He's a decent actor.
Yeah.
And he's a decent voice actor because, like, occasionally, like, I could sometimes you get so used to someone's voice that you only hear them. Like, he slips into the role.
Yeah, he does.
Like, in
I can't say anything bad about Pete Davidson in this role. Yeah. I'm just saying. It's a weird pull that worked.
Yeah. No, it is.
He and Noah become work friends.
Yeah.
And work friends, you've been inside me. That's pretty much the only Bay joke that we got.
And that wasn't even like a Bay. That didn't feel. Bay jokes are too on the nose. That one was.
Well, yeah,
like,
because Bay jokes specifically point at themselves and say, hey, did you see that?
Yeah. And he's just like, no, I don't want to acknowledge that. And that's what makes it work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mirage has a few of those.
Yes.
No, I wasn't scared. That's just engine oil. It's cool.
Just ignore it.
Optimus comes in, grabs Noah, and is about to squeeze him, and you brought a human here?
No, he's cool. He's cool. We're buds.
Yeah. It's cool. He's cool. We cool? Not cool.
Yeah. RC shows up. She turns from motorcycle with a disguise.
Ducati.
Yeah. And then doesn't change back again.
Nope.
I am glad that they went with the mostly red design instead of the 1980s. She's pink because she's a girl.
Yeah.
They did, however, do that for the evil woman on
She was purple.
She was pink.
That was purple.
That was pink.
Nightbird was purple.
That was pink.
It was purple.
It was, okay, it was a dark pink, but it was pink.
It was not pink. It was purple.
Okay, are you pulling up?
Yep.
All right. Also, Nightbird.
Yeah.
They'd never say... Okay, yeah.
It's a name from something.
All right.
I don't remember. It's not coming up.
Okay.
It was purple.
It wasn't.
It was.
All right, sure.
We'll post a picture at some point.
It's a very dark pink.
No, it was purple. It was a royal purple.
It was not royal purple.
It was
royal
fucking purple.
Are you gonna? Okay, god damn it. This is gonna be the sub theme of the Transformers movies. Us debating in regarding color theory.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it. Anyway, fuck, car color theory.
Mirage or Optimus basically just disregards Noah, and they start talking about why they're all here, and that's where we get the bad line read where RC is like, "Here's the energy signature."
Oh, Bumblebee's there as well.
Yeah, Bumblebee's there as well. Speaking only in movie quotes.
I love that. I really love that. I was confused at first, but it gets explained a little bit later
with the best joke in the movie.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
RC explains energy signature was in this frequency range, and this is the what I believe is the source. And Optimus, the transwarp key, it exists and it's here. It's just
couldn't have done another take.
Yeah,
it
was just. I think that's the only like egregiously bad line read in this movie.
I think so. Yeah,
it's just like, oof.
Yeah,
moving on.
Yeah,
Then it's fine. Mm. Like, there's always a little bit of Optimus dialogue that sounds clunky, but that's just because of the character of Optimus and how he talks. Mm. That was not that, though.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad.
Are you playing Pokemon Go while we're recording?
I can do both. You really have this. I don't, like, you've gone into several multi-minute diatribes about cars.
Yeah.
Like this,
here's the thing. Why did you give me the reins to this?
Because I don't remember the movie. Like, I don't remember the plotting.
So,
like, it's a decent film. It just doesn't leave a mark like it to me, like it does to you.
Yeah, I know. I'm in this is nostalgia mode for me.
Yeah.
And you're playing Pokemon Go.
I'll catch this Pokemon slide this.
In your defense, I do live right between two Pokestops.
You
so
do. That, yeah.
I understand. They figure out that the museum on Ellis Island is where this came from.
Yeah.
And they decide to send in Noah to go retrieve it for them because it's just going to be easier to send him on a little stealth mission.
Yeah.
Noah gets convinced by Mirage turning into a couple different kinds of vehicles saying, you can just, whatever you want, you can just sell me.
Yeah. Basically, I will let you sell me. You get the money from the me as a car, and then I book it, and that whatever poor schlub is left with nothing.
Yeah. So, little Transformers community moment here that I just want to talk about. The first time I watched this, it really threw me for a fucking loop that Mirage turned into more than one alt mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not normally a thing, like, sequential.
Okay.
Usually they're like, okay, scan a new one, scan a new one, scan a new one.
Yeah.
But somebody who also had seen it in the community had pointed out that in the Bumblebee movie, Bumblebee, when he was scanning the Camaro, it said something about choose from like 1600 something different like modes.
Okay.
Which I like because it's like, oh shit, okay, so they could just retain all this. Like, that's just like deep storage.
Okay.
So obviously Mirage has gotten bored and he's just like, I want to be an F1 car. I want to be Ferrari. I want to be a Lambo. No, I'll stick with a Porsche today.
Yeah.
I've been a dump truck.
And he is a dump truck. That's how
for
they
a
get
moment.
In.
That's how they get into the island. So that was just a little aside. I'm like, that's interesting. Yeah. I like that, but it's weird to me.
Okay.
Noah runs inside to get the key as the Terracons land as meteors in the Hudson and just glowing with the orange evil energy underneath the water. They rise like they're from Pacific Rim. It's dope.
It's pretty good.
Scourge tells Nightbird to find the key, and they head off towards the island.
Meanwhile, he sneaks in because the terraformers...
Terracons.
Jesus Christ. I can't keep... How do you... Like, okay, I think I...
Here's the thing. So you know how you have so much extra, like, capacity of knowledge for history stuff and art?
Yes.
Push all that stuff aside that, you know, actually pertains to people's real lives. Mm-hmm. That's all just nerd shit for me.
Okay.
That's all just Transformers, Marvel, and Star Wars in my mind.
See, here's... Okay, so I got...
Just slot in. Here's where the Autobots go. Here's where the Decepticons go. Here's where the Predacons go.
I got...
Here's where the Terracons go. Here's where the Stunticons go. Here's where the Combaticons
go. Okay, I get
goes.
It. I get it.
Here's
I get
where,
it.
Here's where for the me, Dinobots go.
Here's the thing.
Here's where
for
the Scorponox go. Here's where the Quintessons go.
Are you done?
No, I can
not.
Keep
I
going.
Know. And I'd ask you not to. Because for me, I got art history... DC Comics, but mostly just Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, Magic the Gathering, because there's a lot of cards.
Oh yeah, and D&D for
and
me too.
D&D. Like there's,
but
like, you can only dive into so many fandoms.
So take all of the art and history stuff,
okay,
and just replace it with Transformers for me.
Is there okay?
And this is why I am the way I am.
All right,
it's Transformers and tangentially cars.
Okay, yeah. All right, so...
I don't think I'd be as big of a Transformers fan if I wasn't also a car guy.
Yeah, no,
but
I see
also
that
the
lot.
Other way around. I don't think I'd be as much of a car guy if it wasn't for Transformers.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of crossover in that fandom, and I just can't, I don't have the mental capability for another extended universe.
Yeah.
So I can contribute color theory. So,
I mean, color theory means nothing when it comes to cars. Though.
I know. I was telling my mom this, and when I told her that horror, the mental horror to me that is
also that's purple.
That is pink.
That's purple.
That is pink
it's
in the dark.
Purple.
Are you kidding me? That is pink at night. The eyes are pink.
The eyes are pink, yes. I
and
give you...
so is the rest of the armor.
No, the rest is purple.
It's not. Okay, anyway, he breaks in. She has opened up the thing and is trying to figure out what the hell this key is. And they do like a run around. She thinks he's stealing from the museum. He says, okay, wait a minute. You're right. And their little run around chase gets stopped when the wall explodes. And after he explains, okay, wait. That is an alien key for some giant robots, and that is pink.
That is purple.
Is that from the movie?
I mean, this is, like, character art from the movie.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's pink.
That's purple.
She's mostly pink. There's a little bit of purple. That...
The rims are pink. I'll give you the rims are pink and the eyes are pink. Everything... That is purple.
Okay. It's a very pink purple.
Yeah, but it's still purple.
Oh, my God. Okay. Various shades.
She's 50 shades of purple.
I was going to make that fucking joke, but with pink. Anyway, the bad guys are here.
Okay, but if you say 50 shades of pink, it sounds way weirder.
Yeah. The bad guys are here. My God.
And they absolutely decimate shit.
Yeah, they just beat the hell out of everyone.
Yeah. So Prime goes toe-to-toe with Scourge, but not really, because Scourge is kind of playing with him.
Yeah.
Takes out his Energon sword and X, and is just... He does not land a single hit.
No.
Bumblebee tries to help out Prime, and Scourge just 1v2s them with ease.
We missed the best joke of the movie.
We did miss the best joke of the movie. Before the Terracons get to the museum and start blowing shit up, Optimus, RC, and Bumblebee are sitting on the cliffside
bank. Yeah.
watching Ellis Island. And Optimus is like, this was a bad idea, trusting humans. And Bumblebee goes, they're my friends. I know one was good to you, B, but... Just because one was doesn't mean they all will be.
Yeah.
They aren't us.
We're
trusting their kind is something we simply cannot do. And then Bumblebee looks over and goes, you can't handle the truth! And Optimus just looks over and says, B, I don't want you going to the drive-in anymore. As B just hangs his head in shame.
Oh, it was good.
That is the only joke in this movie that I will laugh out loud at every single time.
I really liked that they shifted it to movies. I was stretching
You're
my legs.
You're encroaching on my space.
I was stretching my legs. I like that they did the movies for the time that he was here and
yeah.
a little bit later. Anyway, big fight happens.
I also love the idea that on the journey from San Francisco to New York, he just kept stopping at drive-ins and Optimus is like, fine, I'll just fucking meet you there. Whatever.
They get in a big fight. The humans hide from the explosions. This thing bothered me. Everyone has their arm cannons.
Mm-hmm.
Why is RC's arm cannon a pea shooter? It goes pew, 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 pew. And then there's lights going off. There's no like explosion. It doesn't look like it's doing any
it's
damage.
It's less of a pea shooter. It's more of like an SMG thing. Here's the thing. None of the Autobots' weapons in this scene are really doing any damage.
Yeah.
Which is a continuity thing that kind of bothers me with this movie.
Why? Just because they're big and evil?
We'll discuss this a little bit more. I have a theory, but it's something that is, again, just not... It doesn't make sense in the movie, and I'm trying to justify it in my head.
Okay.
I'll get there in a little bit.
So they get their asses handed to them. And Bumblebee...
Prime gets knocked the fuck down by Scourge. He drops a fucking pillar on his back and
they call you a Prime. Primus would be ashamed.
And then Bumblebee comes running over with the axe that Optimus had been using. Goes running, jumps, tries to just cleave Scourge. Scourge turns around with his arm blade and just impales Bumblebee through the chest. Creates a massive just energy cannon out of his other arm and blasts B to smithers.
Yeah.
Just.
Well, he doesn't explode.
He doesn't explode, but like just fucking decimates him.
Yeah. It just
throws him to
the
ground. Just a big energy blast.
Yeah.
Throws him to the ground. B's eyes go lifeless.
Yeah.
As Optimus, I love the personality that Optimus's face has, though.
Yes.
In the, yeah. Just the ability for the eyes to go wide.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
B.
But my favorite part of this scene is when Optimus first gets into it with Scourge and just kind of looks at Scourge after he had stopped his blade. He goes, impossible! Like full Dragon Ball Z. And Scourge just chuckles and goes,
I love that look of confusion. When an inferior being meets a higher power.
That was a good line. That was a good line.
Fucking love that.
He gets interrupted because a giant robotic eagle flies down.
Yes, and breathes fire.
Yeah.
This is Air Razor, voiced by Michelle Yeoh.
I thought it was Ares.
Air Razor.
They kept calling her Ares.
Air Razor.
Okay. They called her Ares.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
No, it is Air Razor, but the R is just one, like, there's only one R. A-I-R-A-Z-O-R. Air Razor. That is the character's name.
Okay.
That is what they called her.
Okay. Is it pronounced that way? Because it looked like, if it's spelled that way, fine, but pronounced it as Ares.
No, they pronounced it as Air Razor.
Okay, good lord. All right, fine. I kept hearing them say Ares.
You kept hearing them say Ares, but that's not what they were saying.
Okay. She comes down and is like, oh shit, you got the key. And then she's like, no, don't worry. It's only half the key.
Yeah.
I don't know where the other half is.
As we're getting cut in between that scene with Scourge talking to Unicron and being tortured in midair by Unicron.
Yeah, kind of force chokes him from the other side of the galaxy.
Yeah, this is actually a thing that Unicron has been able to do in some different continuities.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
It's cool. He did this to Megatron at one point.
Neat.
But, yeah, it felt a little sloppy to me that both at the same time Air Razor was explaining they only have half the key, Unicron was explaining it to Scourge.
Yeah.
It felt a little sloppy to me. I could have.
I mean, that makes sense.
Like, it makes sense, but at the same time, like, the way that it was cut between just
I think
felt
that worked.
Weird.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. It
like,
just
that's
feels
the best
off to
way
me.
Like, they were able to condense information to the audience mm-hmm. via both sides.
Yeah. But the way, I don't know, the way that it was edited or some of the dialogue.
I thought it was fine.
I don't know. It feels a little.
It was a little bit talky.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it.
But I don't even mean talky. I mean, like, a little. And I know this entire movie is corny, but corny nonetheless.
There's a level of
maybe
corny.
It's me being too critical of this movie.
I feel like it is.
I feel like this is me trying to make up for liking the Bay movies by being too overly critical of this movie. I don't know. That's
okay.
The thing.
Okay. You're very clearly dealing with an internal crisis.
Yeah, because it's something I'm extremely passionate about. Mm-hmm. I like this movie, and I'm trying to decide whether, like, how much I like it.
Mm.
So I think my brain is immediately going to try to point out all the flaws.
Okay.
I think is what's happening here.
Okay.
It's upsetting to me.
I see.
Because I fucking love this movie, Gage.
Then just love it.
Yeah!
You're sounding like me. Anyway, so they realize that, hey, we need the other side of the key.
I'm trying to temper my emotions, and it's giving me an internal crisis.
Yeah.
Crisis on Infinite CJs.
I don't want to get back into the multiverse discussion with you.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Airazor explains who she is, what the Maximals are, everything about the transwarp key, and she says she doesn't know where the other half is, and Elena, who had been doing research on all this stuff earlier, says...
it's in Peru.
It's in Peru. That's the only other place where these symbols have appeared before, to my knowledge, so... It's probably where we should go.
Yeah.
So they all decide to go the next day. Noah goes home, has a scene with his brother where he tells him he has to leave.
Yeah.
And the brother at Mirage spies on them and then accidentally breaks a car.
I did love the line, like, after he used the car as a step stool. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, crap. And then his high beams go on. And he's like, hey, I think when you hotwired me, you messed something up.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, turn off. When you hotwired me, you screwed something up. And then the little brother, Chris, tells Mirage, you better take care of him or else I'm coming after you. I loved the brother in this.
I did,
the
too.
The brother was adorable.
I did, too. Like, I also loved that Mirage was like,
because Mirage is down, trying to be like, oh, shit. And the brother's just like, I'll get the bat. Bro, you have sickle cell.
Yeah. What I really loved about the scene, too, was Mirage being, like, he's very, like, flamboyant, like, whatever, yeah, let's do it. But the moment he saw that the little brother was, like, serious about this,
yeah,
he was like, okay, respect.
Yeah.
I promise I'm going to look out for your brother.
Con es muy grande.
Like, there's, like, some seriousness behind all of that silly, and it really worked for the character, and it worked with the back and forth between the brother.
But we had both humans and Transformers that were characters!
Yeah. It's nice, isn't it?
It's so nice. Yeah. Dude, I've been waiting 26 years for this. It's taken so long.
Yeah. Anywho. So they meet up at a, I don't know.
Just an, like, air yard, an abandoned air yard.
It looked like New Jersey.
Yeah.
They meet up in New Jersey off the turnpike.
So, Stratosphere, a big old, like, World War II bomber.
Oh my God. I love Stratosphere's design.
I wish he did more.
I did too. He's giant. He's large enough that all of the Transformers can fit inside of him. He looks like a World War I flight pilot while being like a freighter from World War II.
Yeah.
And like, he's old.
He's also got an Irish accent, I think.
Either Irish or Welsh. He didn't talk a lot.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. But it was just like,
he was voiced by John DiMaggio, who voices, like, all of the Transformers that you don't know who voices them. It's John DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of John DiMaggio, did you know that Futurama's coming back?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's coming back to Hulu. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Yeah. So he flies them to Peru, and during the flight, and I'm so, here's one thing that bugged me. So what's her name?
Elena.
Every time she's been nervous, she sings a song.
Yeah.
What was the song?
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Don't go chasing rainbows.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Oh yeah, no waterfalls. Okay. Why would I think it was rainbows? Whatever. Anyway, I'm annoyed that they didn't actually use the song.
Yeah.
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 It's fine.
Minor thing. It's a characterization. It's fine.
Yeah.
I liked that this is pretty much the last time we see her do it, though, because she's got a handle on the situation.
Yeah.
Shit's fucked and it's okay.
Yeah.
So Noah says to Elena, after they bond with each other over both being from Brooklyn,
yeah,
that once they get the other half of the key, Optimus wants to get the other half of the key and then go face Scourge to take his part.
Yeah.
Which is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And Noah realizes this, but Noah's also looking out for humanity.
Yeah.
And I love how the selfish human was not even necessarily being selfish. Like, was he was still like thinking of humanity as a whole.
Yeah.
But in the context of the movie, it's selfish.
Yeah, I do.
I love that.
And
I love the character of Noah.
And the parallels between the two of them.
Yes.
I do. So you mentioned in your pre-thing the subtlety of Scourge. I don't think that works here because it's him not realizing it. It's both sides not realizing
On second viewing, I rescind that statement.
Like
That was all first impressions and how it came across the first time. After actually paying a little bit more attention to it this time, because I knew what I was getting into, I fully rescind that and realize, okay, no, explaining it...
Especially, like...
Explaining it was not explaining it for the audience, it was explaining it for the character of Noah.
And for, and in a, another sense, for Optimus, because they were both so self-involved with their own thing that they were incapable of...
Right.
Yeah.
And I do like it now that I've seen it again. And again, rewatchability is a huge part of this movie for me. Mm. I would go see it a third time in theater. Like, I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I probably won't because that shit gets expensive.
Yeah.
But I might need to after we get through Michael Bay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll be finishing out with the original movie.
No, we're not.
We're not?
We're doing that a different time.
Why?
Because we're doing that a different time.
Okay.
I'll explain later.
Okay.
The Transformers 1 animated movie that they're making.
Uh-huh.
I want to do that and the 86 movie together.
Okay. In the same episode?
No. Oh, no, like back to back.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think it's Chris Hemsworth that's playing Optimus, and I'm... Like, they got a bunch of A-list actors to do voices. Interesting.
That's never a good sign.
No. This is going to be the Transformers equivalent of the Super Mario Brothers movie, but whether or not it turns out good is a whole other story.
I still haven't seen that.
Me neither.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Noah says we have to destroy the other half of the key. That's the only way that we can prevent Unicron from getting to Earth.
Yeah. I'm not even taking the chance. I don't care if they can get home or not. We can't let this even.
Yeah, and I love how they just leave this scene on Elena saying, like, but that means they can't go home.
Yeah.
And then we cut to them landing in Peru with a bunch of llamas.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wheeljack comes driving.
He disappears. And like... He said something.
They did my boy so dirty.
Like, I thought, okay, I originally liked the design.
I don't mind the design, but not for Wheeljack. I also don't mind the, in quotes, character.
Kooky.
But not for Wheeljack.
Yeah. I don't like, he was a little bit too kooky for this thing.
Yeah.
And then he contributes nothing.
Yeah.
We don't even see, during the big battle at the end, we don't even see him fight.
We do a little bit.
We do a little bit.
Okay. There's a couple little moments where you see him fighting, but it's like, he ain't doing shit.
So you've talked to me a lot about Wheeljack, And the moment I saw him and the moment he started talking, I just leaned over to you and said, I am so sorry.
They massacred my boy twice now.
Yeah.
They got him right once for the brief second that he was in Bumblebee, saying, they broke it through the front line! Like, very first line of the fucking movie.
I really think that a lot of Transformers fans' favorite scene of the entire series of every Transformers thing is going to be that prelogue in Bumblebee.
Of course!
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course it is! It's so beautiful!
It is.
It's so
and well
fucking
lit.
Beautiful!
Anyway,
it's amazing how you can have something so dark but so well lit at the same time.
Yeah.
That was peak CGI.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Fuck you, Avatar. That was peak CGI.
I got through. It's finally available. I sat down and watched the first hour and 15 minutes with my family, and we just got so fucking bored.
Is it? Okay.
It's a 3-hour long movie.
Right. No, I do have to ask real quick. I have not seen it. Mm. I will not see it. Is it true that Sigourney Weaver's character gives birth to herself?
Yes.
So fucking stupid.
One thing that bugs me a lot.
So fucking stupid.
I'm going to tell you not to watch it because it will give you an aneurysm. Because they cut corners on the CGI. And I'm going to tell you exactly how. Sometimes in the background, when there's like a creature or some movement, and it took me like 30 minutes trying to figure this out. Background stuff sometimes gets animated on the twos. Unvor your mic.
Sorry, I was biting it.
Yeah. I knew that would hurt you. And I wanted to tell you this in a safe environment.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Breathe deep.
Breathe out. There you go.
I love that look of confusion. When an inferior being meets a higher power.
You're going through a lot today.
I am going through a lot. I need Scourge. Just no, for a minute. Fine. Just to hold me.
Yeah.
Just to love and to hold.
This is a lot. This is a lot for you.
A lot. I thought just asking if Sigourney Weaver actually gave birth to herself was going to be the worst part of this, and it wasn't. Yeah. How was it not?
I know.
James Cameron, you utter lunatic.
I know. I think it was a cost-saving measure. Just... yeah.
Anyway. Where were we?
So
Pablo Bot.
Yeah.
Pablo Bot and Pedro Khan.
Yeah, so they get... So they reach Peru. There's a big festival going on.
No, Pedro Khan is probably a Napoleon Dynamite convention.
I was thinking Pedro Pascal is a Transformer.
I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Pedro Pascal Starscream?
Oh, my God. I really want that now.
Like, yeah, it's a huge departure for the voice and everything from Chihuahua, but who gives a fuck? No, like, that would be dope as fuck.
He'd still be able to make it work. He plays so many serious characters, and he himself is just the most fun, flamboyant dude you will ever see.
I want this so bad.
Yeah.
I want that. People make it happen.
Please.
Please make it happen.
All right. So. They are going to the oldest church in Peru.
In Cusco, right?
Cusco. Yeah.
Cusco. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a big carnival going on. They sneak to the graveyard at the church, which was built on top of a Incan temple.
Yeah.
They Indiana Jones their way down.
Yeah, their way down underneath they had to twist a couple of Maximal insignias in the ground.
Yeah, they pull some Nathan Drake puzzle shit.
apparently my parents watched the Uncharted movie like last week without having any idea of what it was.
Uh-huh.
My mom was like, oh my God, Tom Holland is so cute.
He is. I'm
like, what did you watch? I'm like, he was like a Tomb Raider. laughing my ass off. And I'm like, oh, you saw Uncharted? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, with Mark Wahlberg? They're like, yeah, he was a real dick in that movie.
Speaking of Mark Wahlberg, I can't believe we skipped this. This is probably, it's a close contender for best joke. It's close. It's close.
It is. Mirage.
Well, like, on their way to, like, to get picked up by the plane.
Their way to get to the museum at Ellis Island.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's just like, you know, Marky Mark is leaving the Funky Bunch? Apparently he's going to pursue acting or some shit.
Yeah. And meanwhile, at the same time, he's the main character is still just, like, sitting there like, okay, I can't believe this is what's happening to me. You keep up with music news.
Your facial expression... You keeled over when they mentioned Marky Mark. Because it's like, the final fuck you to Mark Wahlberg.
Oh my god.
Hey, you know how we made you the titular character of The Last Night and you still weren't happy? Well, guess what? We're referencing the one thing you hate being referenced.
Oh my god. That was a good one. That was good.
Mark Wahlberg just seems like he has main character syndrome.
He does. I mean, all you have to do is watch that terrible fucking... Remember that biopic about the
Patriots
Boston...
Day?
Yeah. Yeah. That was Marky Mark's main character syndrome of like, hey, what if I stopped the terrorist? And it's just like, yeah. Oh my god, that movie sucked in so many ways.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I think the only movie I like Mark Wahlberg in is Ted. He's playing a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's a playing a piece of shit. It's not a good movie.
Yeah.
But he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's okay. Right. So anyway, the Terracons start moving in as Scourge launches more of his insectoid drones.
Oh, he was good in The Fighter. Did you see The Fighter?
The Fighter.
Yeah, it was a boxing movie.
I don't think I saw The Fighter.
Okay. Holy shit, he was in Boogie Nights.
He was in Boogie Nights.
He was
Nights.
In Boogie Nights. Wow.
We have to move on
okay,
from Mark Wahlberg.
On,
we'll have our we'll have our time to shit on Mark Wahlberg, don't you worry.
I gotta rewatch Boogie Nights. That's a good film. I cannot believe that he was in that. Anyway,
so Scourge launches a few more of their insectoid drones from his back.
Yeah.
That just crawl out from his spine. I love that.
That's cool.
They're apparently called Freezers. The toy called it Freezer. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm just my brain immediately went Dragon Ball with that shit.
Oh, Frieza?
And just, yeah, and just like the giant robot going, "Go, Frieza," and two Friezas going like, "Very well."
Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, the Terracons move in as the Autobots roll out.
Yeah. Underground, like they find.
They find an underground, like, catacombs in this Incan temple, and they find a tomb with a Maximal insignia carved into it.
Mm-hmm.
So they push the top off of it, and there is nothing there.
It's empty.
It's a little fake out.
There's like a little stand for the other half of the key, and then there's like more glyphs, two more glyphs, marked into the stone.
As Elena jots those down, they get attacked by the Freezer.
Sorry, still doing that.
It's
still,
so stupid.
Still like,
so then they run the little like gauntlet thing that Mirage had given to Noah. Apparently, is a gun, and he shoots the thing.
Yeah, it's anticlimactic. He's like, "Holy shit, you gave me a gun! What the hell?"
So then they make their way through the tunnels out of the catacombs.
Yep.
As the Autobots and Terracons chase each other and roll down hills.
Yeah.
Optimus goes after Scourge, saying he's going to take off his head. I love just murder hobo Optimus Prime. I know you don't, but I love it.
It doesn't feel right to me.
I just love... I don't. It's the one thing from that Bay did that I just can't get over how much I like.
Like, for me, it's just like there's a very... There's very...
Freedom is the right of all sentient
beings. Exactly
it.
That's exactly
it. Except for you, motherfucker!
That's exactly it. That's where I'm at with that. Like, this kind of high moral standing, and then I'm gonna rip off your face.
You have to also realize, at least in this one, he had just watched pretty much his best friends get absolutely murked in front of him.
True.
Oh yeah, they brought the corpse of Bumblebee, by the
way.
Oh
yeah, they did.
Just he watched Bumblebee get absolutely murked, and he is out for blood.
Yeah. Yeah, but... Yeah, and I get that, and he's already kind of pent up in a jackass from moment one.
He had, like, in this movie, he is a beaten-down, disheveled Optimus that all he believes that he has done since leaving Cybertron is make the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he fully believes that leaving to regroup was the wrong decision. They should have stayed home and fought.
Yeah.
Fought till death.
Mm-hmm. But,
So I'm completely fine with this iteration. I love it anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't need explanation for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this character of this version of Optimus does have the liberty of being a murder hobo against Scourge.
Fine. The problem is I look at Optimus and I just see father figure. And father figures don't rip off people's heads.
You and I have very different fathers. That's fully a joke. My dad has never killed a man to my knowledge. Want to throw that out there.
All right.
He's never killed a man. He did rip their head off.
The fight was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, it takes place on a hill, on a highway that kind of weaves down the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And while there's like... I do really like Scourge's Mad Max ass... Like,
so
truck.
What I love about it is that he's using a very, like, a Mad Maxed out version of the truck they used for Optimus Prime in the first three Bay movies.
Oh.
He's a Peterbilt.
Okay.
Truck. And they basically were like, take that, make it Mad Max, and then that's the villain.
Yeah.
I love the look of it.
The fact that he had all of his little badges from all of his kills.
The insignias on the grill. Yeah. Decepticons, Autobots, Maximals.
Yeah. It's
fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think there was one or two Predacons on there.
Maybe. I don't know. But it was just like, I liked the fight. I still was confused. So, fucking Steve Urkel.
Wheeljack.
Wheeljack,
unfortunately,
is just driving. He doesn't transform, and neither does RC again.
No, RC is just literally hanging out in the Volkswagen van that is Wheeljack.
I'm like,
and then just like skateboard Teen Wolf's off the back of it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's cool,
but like I don't know. There's some decision, like moment to moment decisions that didn't make sense for the Transformers. Like,
still more cohesive than the Bay movies.
Yeah, I guess.
So I don't need to see more of that ugly ass fucking face of Wheeljack's, like, fully. That's fine. Stay in vehicle mode. It's fine.
Yeah.
Stay in vehicle mode, TV, Pablo.
Yeah. Anyway, Optimus and
Optimus tackle Scourge down the hill. They both like square up on the opposite sides of this bridge that's built into the hill. Scourge says, "You're gonna die on this speck of rock." And Optimus just snaps the fuck right back of, "I can think of no better place to bury you." Just like,
yeah.
I like Murder Hobo Optimus. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Okay. Listen, retort to a one-liner. Yeah. I'm fine with that. But when he's just dropping the Murder Hobo one-liners, that feels off for me. When they land, they're on opposite sides of like a little bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And
Air Razor comes down and breathes fire on the bridge, so that Optimus doesn't get himself killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then she flies away to retreat, and Scourge shoots a little, like what looks like a tracker.
I kind of get a sense of the scale of that. It looked like it was, like, at first it looked like it was maybe a meter in diameter,
mm-hmm.
but then, like, once she gets hit, it's like, it looks like it's...
He
like
creates
a
massive fucking cannon, shoots her with it, and then it's like this little, like, the size of a frisbee.
Yeah.
That, hits her in the wing, and it starts, like, rusting her out.
Yeah. And that was just odd, like, the size...
All right. Size of a frisbee.
No, he launched it from his... hand cannon.
Yeah.
That was like a meter meter in diameter, about, right?
Maybe.
Okay, that maybe less. Two feet. Let's say 2 feet, giant hand cannon.
Yeah.
It gets launched, and then on the way to hit her, it shrinks down to the size of a hand.
It doesn't necessarily... No, it's not the size of a hand. It's bigger than that. Okay. It's the size of a frisbee.
Okay.
But it also, we see, like, these little, like, things transform out of it to, like, grab on.
Yeah.
So there's part of the mass there.
Yeah. But it's all in the air, so yeah. It's hard to, like, get a sense of scale.
Yeah. But it starts rusting out the wing where it hit.
Yeah.
And Scourge just kind of menacingly walks away.
Yeah. The
with his not-character henchman.
The humans find their way out of the cave system and then are immediately surrounded by a bunch of
the Maximals. They get stopped by Optimus Primal, mm-hmm. who yells at them asking why they're looking for the key. Mirage calls Primal Donkey Kong and tells him to back off his boy. then gets tackled by Cheetor and starts yelling about stranger danger.
Yeah.
Weird.
I mean, that was relevant. That was the big.
And then Wheeljack comes in with a hand cannon and gets immediately yeeted off screen by Rhinox, who mm-hmm. then screams into the camera. Mm-hmm. Then Prime and RC come in. RC squares up against Cheetor, and Optimus squares up against Primal, tells everyone to stand down. And Airazor finally comes down and tells him to stop.
I could listen to Michelle Yeoh and
Ron Perlman
talk to each other in a serious voice all day long.
Yep.
And I want them to do like a drama or something together, yep. just so I can have the back and forth of those people's energies.
Yes.
Just holy shit. Yep. They have like three conversations, and yep. I was like hooked the entire time.
What's weird to me is that Airazor fully has more screen time than Primal.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
Like, I don't hate it, but it's just kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
It's just like Primal is like the Maximal.
Yeah. But it's a bit odd.
It is a little odd. Anyway, so they discuss that Primal is named after the great warrior Optimus Prime, yada, yada, yada. The key used to be in that tomb, but they moved it for safekeeping a while back, and they follow him to a little human village.
Yeah. It's a small farming community. A
couple
of yurts. Yeah, in Peru. And their clan has basically been looking after
the Maximals
this entire time and keeping the key hidden yeah. away.
At the same time, this entire valley that they're in is actually rich with Energon, but yeah. it's inert in this current state.
It needs like
a massive energy surge that they do not have the means of creating.
Right.
So Optimus lays B's corpse down on a bed of roses, pretty much.
Yeah, more or less.
And then, like, puts him to rest and walks away. And then...
What the fuck happens?
They have conversations.
They talk a little bit.
This is where we got more characterization between Prime and Noah that Elena brings up to Noah.
Yeah.
We see Primal talking to Airazor, saying, he's not the Optimus Prime that I expected.
Yeah, I should never meet your heroes, sort of thing.
But an Airazor is like... He's lost so much. In the same circumstances, would you be any different?
Yeah.
And it's like, yada, yada, yada. Like, it's great.
I wanted that conversation to continue.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear these two.
Eventually, Primal goes and talks to Optimus and tells him that there's more to humans than meets the eye.
And I was like, yeah. And that I kind of like that.
I love it.
I was good.
There are a couple of different things in this movie that are called direct callbacks like that. More than meets the eye, obviously.
Yeah.
But also the till all are one uh-huh. is something from like has been a thing in Transformers forever. Mm. And the callback to that just made me really happy too.
Oh, cool.
But Primal explains to Optimus that the humans are worth protecting and fighting for and fighting with.
Right.
And Optimus kind of gets a little bit of a new perspective.
Yeah.
In the morning, Elena wakes up due to strange noises, and Airazor has been fully possessed by Scourge.
Yeah, and I love... Okay, We'll get into favorite designs, but I do really love the possession, the rust bucket of Ares.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's feral.
Yeah, it's really it is. Great. But it's cool, too, because we have already seen Air Razor's like feathers get spiky when she goes into battle mode.
Yeah.
But now it's just full-on, like, razor blades.
Yeah. She immediately, like, she yells, run, and then loses
control, say, scourges in my mind.
Yeah.
Grabs Elena, flies away. Optimus tries to shoot her down. Primal stops him.
Yeah.
They both make chase after this. Mm-hmm. They give Noah
the key.
Oh, yeah. No, so Air Razor freaks out. Optimus goes to shoot her down. Primal stops her. Primal gives the key to Noah and Elena and says to keep it safe.
Yeah.
Noah goes to destroy it, and Elena tells him not to. Optimus comes in and pleads with him.
Yeah, like, I do love Optimus realizing, like, oh shit, this kid's doing exactly the same thing I would do.
Yeah.
Like, after getting that pep talk from...
Yeah.
Yeah. And he decides, okay, I won't shoot it. Elena reaches down, picks it up, and then gets snatched.
Bird-napped.
Yeah.
They
chase after her.
Primal swings through the trees up on top of one of the, like, terraced hills. I forget what it's called.
I think that's what it's called. It's terrace farming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we see Air Razor giving the key to Scourge.
Yeah.
She then goes and attacks Primal,
uh-huh.
Who is forced to crush her... cave her chest in with his gorilla strength and snuff out her spark, and it's dark.
It's pretty brutal. Like it felt like
also,
you know what it felt
robot
like?
Robot monkey face is sad.
Yeah.
How is robot monkey face sad? But robot monkey face is sad.
It's good. They did a very good job.
They did
that.
Such a good job with these designs, allowing them to be expressive.
Yeah.
Even Air Razor, who never transforms, minor gripe. Is just, like, fucking emotive.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Yeah. I mean, I keep going back and forth on Air Razor, because the beak, like, they were able to get a lot of emotion through, mm-hmm. the manipulation of the beak not actually being a beak.
Yeah. Having it transform and kind of, like, ride up like a nose being scrunched.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
I do, too, actually.
Yeah. I like that. Because you have to remember, it's not a bird.
Right.
It is fully an alien that's assumed the form of a bird.
Yeah. Okay. So, she's dead. Mm-hmm. Bad guy has the key.
All
is lost moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Optimus talks to Noah about how their belief is that they will be fighting evil until the day that all are one.
Mm-hmm.
And talks to Noah, and Noah's like, yeah, but I ain't done fighting. So Scourge is currently using the key to manifest a tower.
I'm
confused. I don't know.
Is it? I thought maybe because the world, this area is so filled with Energon.
So, like, I think it's a combination of the area being rich with Energon, mm-hmm. The key being this massive energy surge that is needed to render it active,
uh-huh.
as well as a combination of evil space Unicron magic.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm willing to just forgive it because it's dope.
It's a little weird. Like,
weird.
It's weird enough that I was, like, confused.
Imagine how I felt.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't how the it's fine. It's cool.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, he makes a sky laser.
Yeah, he makes a big sky laser. Mm-hmm. That sky laser was present at the beginning of the movie on the Maximal homeworld, too.
Right.
That's like
he rebuilds a sky laser.
It basically reads to me as the conduit for the transwarp key.
Okay,
that allows the space bridge travel.
I see.
Okay. So I'm thinking that the transwarp key itself somehow assist in the manifestation of it.
Okay.
again,
I mean, the animals know like what the structure is.
Yeah, because it probably builds the same structure every time because there's a specific design that they created so that it could work.
Yeah.
Because it is their technology.
So while that's being built, they realize that they have time until it creates a portal big enough for like...
Until the cervix is dilated.
No. No. No.
To birth a baby unicron.
I don't usually go with a hard no, but my God. Okay.
He's just a baby unicron.
Great. Don't ever say that again.
Okay.
Thank you. I like that they're non-mammals. Why did you have to bring in...
Because is it not kind of what it's...
It's a fucking sky portal!
Exactly.
I have never heard anyone describe
space cervix.
As that!
Spussy.
I hate you. Wow. The only fact that the only reason I'm not standing up and walking away is knowing how this movie ends and knowing that I can hurt you. So let's continue with this fight.
Okay.
Let's continue with this argument, this, the big battle. So they decide, okay, we need to get the humans to go to the control pad.
There is a minor contrivance here of the fact that, yes, but we can shut it down with a special access code.
Yeah.
And you know the code because you wrote down things on your palm.
Yeah, and in your notes. And like, it's just like...
It's a minor contrivance, but it's a contrivance nonetheless.
Yeah, we have to go to the mainframe and enter the passcode.
Also, one thing that bothers me on second viewing is that Primal fully says, no, if we destroy the key, it's just going to trigger a massive explosion.
Yeah.
But we see later that Optimus destroys the key and it doesn't trigger a massive explosion, which makes me think that they could have sniped that shit from far away and it would have all just been fine.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even need to. That's the thing. He destroyed it close up. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Big fight. Big fight, big one to distract the bad guys. Mm-hmm. The Transformers descend upon them. They get their line.
Autobots roll out and Maximals maximize.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's corny as fuck, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's all fan bait. Fanfare.
So they...
They
come down. Scourge is like, okay, release the tide of disposable...
Disposable Michael Bay shards.
Yeah, and that's what they are. They're like, they are ugly little things.
Insectoid looking evil things.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Here's the thing. They don't need to be all unique named characters.
Yeah.
At least we have the unique named characters that we can tell what is happening.
Yes.
Like, we are watching them beat the shit out of things. Cheetor and Rhinox transform. I'm mad that Rhinox has no lines in the movie.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, Cheetor has a couple.
Like,
enough at least to have a little bit of a personality.
Uh-huh.
But Rhinox is just there.
Yeah.
He wrecks shit with a big fucking hammer.
Yeah.
I love his robot design. Hmm. Too bad we don't see much of it.
Yeah. I pointed this out very early on, like, my confusion regarding Primal.
Mm-hmm.
He's an ape, and then what does he do? He transforms into a more human ape?
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the fucking... What does the toy look like for that? Do you just stand him up?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I fucking knew it. Oh my God. That's what bugs me about his design. That and the fur. I don't like the fur on the Maximals.
I like it.
It doesn't make sense. Why would they have fur? Anyway. So big battle, big CGI battle. There's a nice camera sweep through the battlefield, which is a scene that I really liked of just the army going after them. And while this is all happening, two humans are heading up the little tube in the underground to get to the console. But Scourge is still hanging out up there, and he's just guarding it. So Mirage, decides to be a distraction.
Yes. And he goes and tries to 1v1 Scourge.
Yeah.
And hits a couple times.
He uses the multi-form technique.
Yeah.
And like he gets in some hits.
Way of the astral self, monk.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to go with the Naruto thing, but but whatever.
Shadow clone jutsu?
Yeah. I think so. I don't know much about
it. I only know this from other people referencing it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
I mean, all I know about Naruto is what I was able to pick up from that kid in high school who had the band
and did the Naruto run.
And did the Naruto run everywhere.
Yeah.
And weirdly had like four girlfriends.
You've told me about this before. I don't want to think about this.
It's
just
so
fucking
bizarre.
Errol Flynn ass motherfucker.
His life must have been an anime. He had a freaking harem, like a bunch of girls who just hung out around him and clearly liked him. And he was like, no, I must do the things I do. He was a weird guy, but he was a cool dude.
Anyway.
Anywho, speaking of anime.
So Mirage kicks the faceplate off of Scourge, and he looks exactly like Ultron.
What? You said Ultron.
Ultron.
You mean, what's his name? He looks like a freshly shaven... You're saying Ultron from Marvel?
From Marvel. Oh. He looks exactly like Ultron.
I looked
from,
at...
From Age of Ultron.
Okay,
Age
I
of
thought
Ultron.
You misspoke, because what he looked like to me was, what's his name, the bad guy, Megatron, but after he'd been shaved. Like, it looked like a Michael Bay Megatron, but someone pulled all of his face spikes off.
Okay, but you can't tell me it didn't look exactly like this.
Here's the thing. No, it didn't look like that, because that looks like a human-shaped head. The head of him was round.
Yeah, but it was still, like, it looked like a knockoff.
It was a big metal round head with red glowing eyes.
It looked exactly like Ultron.
It didn't.
It did.
It didn't. It looked did. Like... Okay,
fine. It really did.
God damn it. Yeah, Ares and, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Pink, Ares... Not
I don't think you were paying attention during this movie.
I kind of was.
See, this is your problem.
You
didn't take it seriously. Yeah, no.
You
can't
even say
no,
that.
No, I can't even say
face.
That with a straight face.
Oh my God.
You can't take a Transformers movie seriously. No, you didn't even go in fully paying attention. You're like, I wonder what Pokemon I'm going to catch in Pokemon Go when we record.
You were on your car tirade. You spent 3 minutes listing the different types of Transformers, despite my objections. Anyway.
You want me to keep going? I'll fucking keep going.
No, shut the fuck up. Anyway, what's his name? The Mirage starts getting his ass beat.
Fucking start talking about the original Primes.
What's his name? Shut up. The main guy, I keep forgetting.
Scourge?
No, the main human character.
Noah?
Noah. He jumps out and is like, hey, let me help, or I don't... What? No, no, no,
no,
no, right.
Scourge grabs him
down,
from...
and pulls him out and like throws him.
Yeah, from the tunnel, the access tunnel.
Yeah.
Throws him down. Mirage goes to protect him by being basically a metal shield.
Yeah.
Just human shield, but Transformer.
Yeah. What's her name?
Elena.
Elena keeps going. She's climbing toward the console. Megatron
freezes after her.
Frieza is after her.
We have to keep going.
There are so many great Frieza quotes. My brain keeps like.
I don't know any of them. Just keep going.
All right. Anyway, so Scourge just starts opening fire on Mirage, and Mirage is like, "Hey, I made a promise to your brother.
Yeah.
So you gotta stay alive, man."
Yeah.
I'm not going to break this.
So Mirage seemingly dies. Then we hear Unicron is very, very close to being able to enter Earth's atmosphere now.
Yeah, his teeth are sticking through.
He's starting to send reinforcements down as little balls.
Yeah.
We get the Uniballs.
Is that what they're called?
No.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm calling them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting the Uniballs drop through the portal.
And they're just slightly larger. They're just slightly...
Uniballs straight to the spussy.
Hate you. And they're just slightly larger, spiky guys.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, wow.
It's whatever.
Yeah, it's
they're cannon fodder. They're fully cannon fodder.
Yeah, clearly.
Noah talks to his brother who is seeing dark clouds in New York.
Yeah, they've been chatting through a radio, and
yeah.
Mirage integrated one of the radios into his wrist.
Yeah. So they talk about how you were the one who gave me the strength to keep fighting, so now I need you to keep fighting.
Yeah, that's a good scene.
It is a good scene. It's cute. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. So then Mirage kind of wakes up and is like, yeah, no, I'm good, but I need you to take the wheel for a minute. And then just turns into an exosuit for Noah.
He just turns.
It goes so anime so quickly.
He turns straight up into an Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
But the car.
But with the tail lights on the. Tail light tits.
Tail lights on like the chest plate, and he still has the aesthetic of like a Porsche turned into a robot.
Yeah,
and he's got like the mask from the most recent the American
Pacific
Power
Rim.
Rangers.
Oh, Power Rangers. Yeah. But it's still like the overall helmet is still the shape of Mirage's head.
Yeah,
and then he transforms his hand into a gun that is the same size as Mirage's gun. It's just a human using a Mirage-sized gun and starts blasting Scourge.
And he starts running with a jetpack. And I'm like, how did you ever second guess yourself on this, CJ?
I was scared. Okay,
was it just too anime?
It was too anime, and I got confused and scared. Because then he starts to 1v1 Scourge, and then Scourge says, oh, but you're all alone. And then Optimus just slides in from off screen. Like, he shouldn't have been able to do that. He was on a bridge.
He swung up.
But he just slides in from off screen. He's not alone. And then they start just
beating the shit out of
Scourge. Optimus dedicates the rest of this, like, the rest of this act to just destroying Scourge.
At the same time, why do I keep forgetting the humans' names? Jesus.
Noah? Elena? No,
Elena, gets into place, and she starts entering the sequence code. But as she does, just before she finishes, Scourge shoots the console, and Elena gets saved by Noah in the suit.
Yep. It's around this point that the transwarp key and the entire structure that they created unleashes this massive energy blast that starts to wake up some of the inner energon throughout the valley.
Yeah.
And we just see a shot of Bumblebee laying on the bed of energon as it starts glowing. And then Stratosphere
going like, Energon.
And then the next thing that... pretty much the next thing that actually happens that matters Stratosphere comes flying into frame, and then we get a shot from inside while the jet doors in the back go down.
That scene was very Michael Bay in the best way.
It was.
Yeah.
Michael Bay does some things well.
Yes.
He is very good at setting up like that kind of cinematic shot.
Here's what's gonna happen.
The hero reveal.
Yeah.
Michael Bay does a dope ass hero reveal, I have to admit.
Yeah.
So the bay doors go down, Bumblebee's door wings fully go up, his battle mask comes down. Don't call it a comeback!
I'm just like, oh. And that was the other thing. Because this takes place in 1994, we've got some of the best, like, it's just a good score. The score is just like,
it is.
It pulls everything.
But soundtrack.
Good
the
soundtrack.
Score itself is also dope.
Yes, it is. Sorry,
but the soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah. The problem is, because Bumblebee talks with that, like, it slips between diegetic and non-diegetic. And
yeah.
I'm not sure sometimes.
Just go with it.
Just go with it.
Just be happy because it's awesome.
Yeah.
Be happy. It's dope.
Annoyed that Stratosphere didn't join in the fight.
Yeah, a little bit. But
it
is what it is. He's very much a transport guy.
Yeah, but I wanted to see the big mustached Welsh man kick a pile of...
Dude, imagine if he just pulled out a fucking minigun.
I don't even want that. I just like the fact that he's fucking massive and he just steps on all of the little ant guys.
Yes, daddy. Step on me. Step on me, Strato daddy.
One of the little warriors gains free will and like, says, I found a hot way to die.
Clank. So Bumblebee skydives without a parachute,
yeah.
Starts taking out Uniballs left and right as they're dropping from the sky.
Yeah.
And Nightbird flies up and air tackles Bumblebee. He punches her a couple times. Scourge, in the middle of fighting Optimus in a heated battle, shoots up at Bumblebee a couple times.
Bumblebee turns
Nightbird around, gets her hit a couple times. One of her wings pops off in his hands, and he just impales her with it, and she explodes.
Oh, no.
Her parts rain down onto the battlefield, and he Iron Man pose lands, and then Battle Mask comes up, and what do you like? I'm here to kick ass.
Oh, yeah, it was from but he didn't add the and chew bubblegum.
Yeah,
but
I'm all out of bubblegum, but no, I'm here to kick ass.
Oh,
so dope.
It was very good. I love the that falling, like, he turns her around, uses her as a robot shield, mm-hmm. and then a piece of her falls off. He reaches back, like, it goes
he
to
reaches
fly
back
off,
grabs it and just stabs her with it in one motion.
That was a good
So also during this battle, something that's very well done is a bunch of like continuous shots of the robots fighting each other.
Yes,
like going from, oh, Cheetor is stabbing this dude with his spear. Oh, this is what's happening here. Before Bumblebee comes dropping down, Nightbird had actually grabbed Noah and had flown off with him. And then Cheetor threw his spear knocked Nightbird and Noah out of the sky.
That was during the Wonder.
That wasn't during the Wonder, but it was like
adjacent.
Right after it.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful. These action sequences are beautiful, even though even though these cannon fodder spike machines aren't recognizable, it's still dope.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Getting back to where we were originally, the console is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Optimus Prime just goes full, like, I'm going to rip your face off, but before I do that, I'm going to rip your head out of your body.
Yeah, so Scourge kind of climbs up to the next tier of this big structure. Optimus follows. There's, like, lava just pouring down because... I think what's supposed to be implied here is that the... transwarp key is also partially terraforming so that it can draw like energy as heat from the earth. I don't know.
I think you're overthinking it.
Probably, but it's dope.
I think it's just lava, and it's lava just, looks cool.
It's just dope.
Yeah.
Optimus goes up. It's just you and me now, Scourge. Just sticks his sword into the lava, splashes it on Scourge's face. They fight for a brief moment. Optimus just shoves Scourge's face into the lava with his sword.
Yeah.
Scourge calls for Unicron to send reinforcements. Scorponox come raining down from the sky. Primal starts eating their heads.
That was good. Yeah.
Just biting their heads off.
There's too many of them.
Yeah. And Optimus eventually says, I'm tired of this. Does an uppercut with his sword, cuts off one of Scourge's arms, follows through by a downswing, cuts his other arm off, sticks his sword through Scourge's face, rips it off upwards, and says, that's the power of a prime. And then he, before Scourge's body falls into the lava, he grabs Bumblebee's insignia, rips it off, and says, this belongs to a friend of mine.
I'm going to take it from here, because I want to get, like, you went through that entire scene.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I know you loved it. Gage, it was pretty fucking cool.
I finished.
Okay, good. Thank you. So Scourge is dead, but the key is still in, and it's still operating, and the portal is still opening. And at this point, on the planet, the
Unicron
is like, has his teeth and face in And fangs? Why does he have fangs?
Part of his design.
Okay.
It's part of the...
I thought he was just a big planet.
No.
Okay.
He's actually this massive... I'm going to pull up a picture.
Okay, got it. So Optimus says, okay, basically says, you guys get as far away from as possible. I'm going to destroy the key. They acknowledge his sacrifice. He smashes the key as, like, everyone else runs off. Have fangs.
Big fangs, spiky things.
Okay. I'm thinking of the 84
movie. I, by the way, fucking love the live-action Unicron design.
Mm.
It's so dope.
I did have a question about that design. So inside, when Scourge was talking to him,
yeah,
that ball of light, was that one eyeball? Because we did see like a giant
face. That one ball of light, I think, is meant to be like his spark or his core.
Uh-huh.
Because then like we get a wider shot and you see that same little structure that has that ball of light.
But we also see the face.
But we also see the two giant fucking eyes.
Yeah. Behind.
I love that.
Again,
so much.
That was good. I didn't notice that that was that because I was just, again,
yeah,
the scale.
There's a lot
difficult.
Going on in there.
Yeah.
He is the size of a planet.
Yeah. So as the key gets chopped in half, the entire structure starts getting sucked up through the wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned this. They said it will explode if we try to stop it. It doesn't?
They could have just sniped it from far away and then just fought whatever was left over.
Yeah. So the key... So every... Optimus uses his axe because everything's getting sucked up into the wormhole. He starts to get pulled away. The axe doesn't hooks on something, but then loosens. And then it is caught by...
Noah in the exosuit.
Yeah.
Till all are one.
And then
Prime loses grip on the axe.
Yeah.
And then Primal grabs him and says, till all are one. And pulls Optimus in. Launches Optimus down. Optimus grabs Noah. He does this cool breakdance transformation, which, by the way, is literally spot on to how the original toy and pretty much every iteration of a G1 style Prime transforms.
Cool.
So it's literally just like, oh yeah, no, I transform exactly like the toys do.
Nice.
And then I love that shot so much. It's just full nostalgia.
So they make it away. Everything gets sucked up into the portal. And as the portal closes, I'm thinking, oh, there's going to be like a little bit of an explosion, like an implosion an explosion. And nothing.
Yeah.
There's a little bit anticlimactic.
Yeah. There's some...
Like, I was expecting an Akira-style, like, explosion from the implosion of everything happening there. Just, like, in the sky, it wouldn't damage the Earth Earth or anything. But then
one of the bots asks if Unicron is dead, and Primal says, no, darkness can never be truly destroyed. Whatever. He says, he will return and he will be angry. Optimus says, let him come.
That was good. Yeah.
Oh, Unicron tried to plead with Prime not to destroy the key.
Okay, that line I liked.
So, like, Unicron, Prime is about to destroy it. Unicron is like, I can give you whatever you want. Then die as the battle mask goes on and he stabs the broken sword down.
Yeah.
Fucking love that.
Yeah.
The Optimus one-liners in this movie were dope as fuck.
Yeah. So they all say farewell. I forget how this ends.
Optimus, we have another Optimus Prime voiceover narration for the epilogue. But then it just doesn't end, and then Noah has a little epilogue thing that's cute.
I like that. Like, he rebuilt...
Yeah.
He rebuilds
Mirage out of dusty old parts and freaks the hell out of Reek, the guy who he was doing jobs with earlier.
Yeah. I'm going to take the post-credit scene because I fucking love this for some reason. Mostly it's because of your pain and suffering.
I'm not in that much pain. Like, I'm not actually that upset with this. I will talk about why.
Okay.
I'm upset with the idea of it, but I also like certain aspects. Just get through it and all.
So, he goes to take another job, interview, and while there, he sits down and he talks with that one guy who is Michael Kelly.
Yeah,
Michael Kelly, the man who will always play the government agent in whatever he's in.
But he always is. You're always going to have to check first. Is he a government agent or is he just the store manager of a Walmart?
Yeah, no, he can
put the both. Night supervisor for Walmart.
Yep, it's one or the other. And it's kind of scary that those two are so similar.
Yeah.
I think that was the main crux of the idea behind Chuck. Remember that show?
Vaguely.
Kinda. Yeah. So he basically says, hey, so I know, like, he does the whole, like, interview for a security position.
Yeah, tell me about your strengths.
Yeah.
It's like, resume's a little light.
And he says, actually, I haven't updated it. Recently, I did some work down in Peru.
Or did some work internationally. Yeah. And the guy was like, here the food's really good in Peru.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't say Peru.
But that's where you were, right? With Elena and...
your big friends.
Your friends.
Yeah. And he's a little bit on guard. And the agent basically says, okay, listen, I work with a certain secret organization.
Strictly off the books, because all of them are.
Yeah. And we protect the world from...
planetary threats as well as other shit.
Yeah. And then
he says, because you... this is one thing that I really like. Mm. Because you saved the world... even if you don't come work with us, we're taking care of your brother's medical expenses for the rest of his life. Like, he's good.
You don't have to worry about that.
Like, best doctors in the world, and these are doctors who are not going to ask about account balances.
Right.
And so he's like...
it's literally the least we can do.
You saved the world, kid. It's the least we can do. Yeah. Like, I love the idea of a government that is that actually cares about people like that and is actually thankful.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, too, is that he was, like, on the fence of regardless of whatever was happening. It seemed like he wasn't thrilled about taking this job now.
Yeah.
And then the agent stands up, he turns a picture on the wall, and the wall opens up.
By the way, kid, your brother was right. Never use real names over airwaves.
And he goes down, and he leaves a business card. And the guy flips it over.
Noah flips it over.
Noah flips it over. And it says, G.I. Joe. And I burst into fucking laughter.
You were keeled over in the movie theater at that.
It. Holy shit. I look over
the nonchalant way that they just pulled that is fucking atrocious to me. It's goddamn treason of the highest order, and I'm a little upset.
I look at this. I look over at you, and you're like... You, at this point, I really wanted to be in the theater when you first saw this scene. Because I wanted to know what the hell was going through your fucking mind. Because my mind was,
I already knew
absurd.
About this before I saw
you
the
did.
Movie.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It got spoiled?
Spoiled is not as much as the Transformers community threw a collective hissy fit.
I can imagine.
And then decided, let's watch the movie and then decide whether or not it's good or bad. And... I'm of the mind that this could go either way at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I do not give a fucking shit about G.I. Joe as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it means that we could get some Decepticon/Cobra team ups, you were saying, which is something I also thought of Cobra actually being aliens.
Yes, because like everyone thought he was a human for the longest time. Then they did the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And then he took off his mask and he's not, it wasn't just a name. He was actually a space snake.
Yeah.
And
I also want to throw this out. What if they're setting up Noah to be the lead in the G.I. Joe movies?
That would be interesting.
I would watch. I love the character of Noah. I would.
Yeah.
I'd be cool with that. Also, just because they're teasing it at the end of a Transformers movie does not mean that everything Transformers here on out is going to involve G.I. Joe.
No, it won't. But this was more shocking than.
It's shocking as hell. Yeah.
No.
Like... it's out of fucking nowhere. It's bizarre. But I'm going to reserve judgment until this all plays out in the next 10 years.
Okay. It's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be like, weird.
I saw this and my mind went like 40% of it was how fucking absurd this is.
Well, because
20% was just looking the look at your face.
I overplayed my disappointment a bit. I will admit, because I knew that you were gonna laugh either way.
Oh my god!
Yeah. I'm not as upset about this as you think I am.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of dumpster fire they end up creating. Because here's the thing. Lorenzo Di Bonaventura, the like executive producer on all these Transformers movies, has from day one wanted to do a G.I. Joe crossover because money.
Yes.
He's just a fucking idiot anyway, and I can't fucking stand the guy. But he's wanted to do this since like 2010, back when they had a Transformers franchise that was extremely profitable and a G.I. Joe franchise that was just the worst fucking garbage ever that made no money.
Yeah.
So he was like, we should combine them for the most monies. Because, you know, he's a smart guy, apparently.
Yeah.
So they've been wanting to do this for a while. He's finally getting his time to prove that he has no idea what the fuck he's doing. I'm just looking forward to the next Transformers movie, because, like I said, this is supposed to be the start for a trilogy, for like a Unicron slash Beast Wars style thing.
Right. The one thing that, like, the second wave of laughter that hit me in the theater with that was the realization of the Hasbro Extended Universe.
Yes, and then I had to correct you that Barbie is not Hasbro, it is Mattel.
But My Little Pony is. And there's already precedent with My Little Pony.
Yeah, no, they've crossed over before in the comics.
Yeah. And I want to see, I don't know how well it will work, but I want to see it happen.
I'm going to tell you right now, I do not think they're going to do it. I do not think so. Because here's the thing. As long as Di Bonaventura has his hand in the cookie jar, the only thing he gives a shit about is Transformers and G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat.
Honestly, I'll be happy if there was just like an April Fool's Day thing of like a bunch of colorful horses.
They'd have to be smart to do that.
Yeah.
He is not. That's true. I'm also going to tell you this. As much as I hate Michael Bay, him directing the Transformers movies were only half the problem. The other half was Lorenzo.
Okay.
Just full disclosure, I can't put all blame on Bay, because Di Bonaventura deserves probably 75% of it, because he's also the one who kept making Bay come back.
Yeah. I mean, I still have to... Okay, here's one thing that I am personally going to do. I'm not going to make you watch it, but the reason Michael Bay came back for the fourth movie, for the fourth and the fifth, was so that they would fund the movie he actually wanted to make, which was Pain and Gain, which I hear is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard decent things about it.
I don't want to do an episode. Maybe I'll do like a Gage solo thoughts on it. But like, I'm curious to see what that like.
Gage grumbles, Pain and Gain. CJ solos and Gage grumbles.
What happens if I actually like it, though?
Come back to me.
All right.
Final thoughts about the movie.
I liked it. It's good. It's not Bumblebee.
It's not Bumblebee. Nothing's ever going to be Bumblebee again.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a magic that they captured and immediately... Like, there's no way you could have lived up to that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they could have done that kind of same story with another robot.
They could, but then at what point does it start being derivative?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And at the same time, Bumblebee was not a huge commercial success. So they were like, okay, we've got the audience back in. We've got people liking our shit again. Let's bring it back to a full franchise film and let's start over.
Okay.
And that's kind of what this was. And I think it's a good start to that.
I think so.
I was nervous when they first were like, yeah, we're doing Unicron in this one. I'm like, oh, fuck. They're so, like, they are batting way above their app. Like, they cannot pull this off. They pulled it off.
I think so.
It's not perfect.
Yeah.
It's definitely still got the Transformers movies flaws.
Yeah.
But without being cringy.
Yeah. And without being racist.
And without being racist.
And without jerking off the military.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with flawed plot movies,
mm-hmm.
as long as they're fun, but as long as they're fun and still entertain me and are still dope like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, obviously I'm not going to be ranking, like, luckily, mm-hmm. luckily we're not ranking this with our normal
no.
fruit thing. But before we do that, best scene, best shot, best
yes.
call out, and best design.
So I actually, before we do that, I want to point out a couple of quick gripes that I have.
Okay.
One, there is no mention of Predacons or Decepticons by the Maximals or Autobots.
All right.
Decepticons not being mentioned, fine. I don't, that's whatever. We know Decepticons. We know what they are.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset we got no backstory for the Maximals other than we fled our homeworld.
I think, okay, I think you have to take it from a non-Transformers fan point of view. That's too many. That's too many things to be dropped up
on
an audience.
And I understand that. But the whole point of these Beast Wars characters... is Maximals v. Predacons.
Okay, and that will be slowly integrated in the next film.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they don't do, oh no, we actually, like, that's all taken care of. We did that before.
Then what would they do? They'd retread old ground. So they're going to bring the Predacons back.
No, but I'm saying, I'm hoping in the story the Maximals haven't already defeated
the Predacons.
Yeah,
no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're not going to do that. Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think
again. I don't have faith in Lorenzo de Bonaventura.
Okay,
but I want to see T-Rex Megatron on the big screen.
Yeah,
I want them to go full fucking trans metal and have Dragon Megatron.
It does it really get that wild? No, don't you don't have to show me.
Second gripe. Airazor early on saying that Scourge and his posse are all but invincible, and then immediately that's just dropped.
I mean, she does die. Also, yeah, no, that is a good point. Like, what
so
actually...
They were pretty much invincible in the first fight.
Yeah.
Scourge took a hit or two during the second fight. But then they all just died.
Simple, CJ. They used the magic of friendship from My Little Pony to get a power boost and then defeat the bad guys.
I'm going to punch you square in the face. Second one is Primal saying it'll cause a big explosion, and then there's no explosion.
Yeah, no, that's
there's no big, big boom.
Yeah. So stupid. That was annoying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God, if they had just, like, put a fart sound when the portal closed, I would have loved that.
That would have been dope.
Yeah.
But
I guess they were wrong about that.
Just Primal goes,
oh.
Ape Link fucking lied. Okay. Understood. He's like, oh, that's why. Okay. No, I get it now.
Just the.
Yeah, I can see why he didn't want me to do this, because this is all I can do now. Just sit here, remake the transwarp key, and then break it, get the little... and then, other than Primal, Cheetor and Rhinox not getting really much screen time at all. And obviously Wheeljack, that abomination.
Yeah, now I can see why you'd be annoyed with that.
Look how they massacred my boy.
My child! Trying to remember the line from
it's not perfect, but it's fun as hell, and it's probably my second favorite franchise movie. I still like Dark of the Moon better.
Okay, we'll get to those.
It's way cringier because of Michael Bay, but I think the story is better.
Okay,
I think the overall plot and story is better.
Okay.
Anyway, favorite. Shot.
Favorite shot. There's a lot of good ones. Cinematography in this was very on point. I did like... I think during the car chase, when the car, like, reverses its direction, and, like, he just looks panicked.
Nah.
I don't like this. I like that.
I'm split between two. One of them is where Scourge has Bumblebee impaled and is about to shoot him. I don't know why. There's something really cinematic about that shot. It's terrifying. And like both times I saw it, I just had chills running down my spine. And the second one is the wide shot of Unicron, like starting to consume the maximal planet with the,
No, that was cool.
The design for Unicron is just so on point.
I like it. I just don't like it enough. You know, like planet eating super giant. It looks exactly like you'd expect it to look.
They used him the perfect amount in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
We get just enough of him to want more, but not too much to the point where we're like, okay, but we've done this now.
Okay. All right. I
like just enough to be this massive threat.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. It was cool. It felt like they could have done something more unexpected.
Yeah, they could have.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. It's not a perfect movie.
Yeah.
I fully acknowledge this. I love the fuck out of it? Yes.
Okay.
Is it dope as hell? Yes.
Best scene. Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
I really liked the scene with the two brothers and Mirage in the alleyway.
That's definitely the best scene.
I think so. The energies, everyone's energy was very different, and they all shifted from being serious to fun.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was where we saw why Mirage was he was better than what we had seen so far.
Yeah.
Like he was a goofball, and then we see him like, okay, we're serious now. I'm going to take care of your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that has to go to it. Close second is the oneer with in the big battle, but that's a battle scene. And it's all CGI, so it's just like, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I probably have to go with that too.
Mm. Yeah. It was the most human, like, character-driven moment.
I do really like the scene where Optimus is talking Noah down from destroying the key, though. Yeah,
that's good, too. That's good, too. It's one or the other,
I think. They're both real fucking good.
Yeah.
All of the character arcs and development in this movie was actually good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's so weird to me.
It's nice. It's nice.
It's weird to me to see Optimus Prime have character development. I just need you to acknowledge.
Oh,
Like, even throughout the majority of the continuities, like, Optimus is pretty much a steady constant.
Right.
Like, he's always the one helping others achieve character development.
He's the Superman of the Justice
League. Yes.
Yeah.
But in this one, he's flawed, and he has room to grow.
Right.
And I love also that, yes, it's a little cheesy that we had a Bumblebee fake out, but it ends up being played for even more character development, which is perfect. It's exactly the way it needed to be done. The Mirage death fake out was a little weird too.
Yeah.
Like having two in one movie is a little much, but
yeah. Although,
but
it's two different types of character death. One is a full death. The other is
for full murder, and the other is self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm just saying it is a little weird that it happened twice.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite design?
I gotta go with the World War One, World War Two
Stratosphere.
I really like his design.
Stratosphere's cool.
I liked how he was kind of beaten up and broken down from age. When we first see him, but then when he gets the Energon boost, he's looking like a lot stronger. I like that he's absolutely fucking massive. I wish he had some more things to say.
So we were initially, like I was saying earlier, supposed to get an actual Decepticon in this movie named Transit, who turns into a bus.
Okay.
And this is who Optimus would have killed early on.
Okay.
This would have been my favorite design had it made it into the goddamn movie.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
But it didn't make it into the movie.
So, I like the big World War II inspired robot. No surprise there.
Yeah. Scourge.
Really?
I love it.
It was too edgy.
Not nearly as edgy as the Decepticons in the Michael Bay films.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, he had definition to him.
Yeah.
He had an actual, like, streamlined design that still had, like...
You know what it is? It's because I went through my grunge phase, and it's just like, I don't want to remember that.
Yeah.
And he is my he is the physical embodiment of my grunge phase.
I also love that his face mask is just the Terrorcon insignia.
Yes.
It's dope. Yeah. I love it. Like, the entire, like... chest grill and everything. I love Scourge's design.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love it. Mm. Close runner up would be Rhinox. Mm-hmm. I love Rhinox's robot mode. It's too bad that we don't get too good of a look at it.
Yeah. But I would have also liked RC if it wasn't for the lips. I don't like they wanted to make a feminine robot, but the general
body shape and, like, movements
sell
that more than having lips does.
Right, and, like, they made her mostly red, and I liked that.
Yeah, red and white.
Yeah.
Like, there's been so many...
I mean, her shoulders were pink, but that was more of an acknowledgement of the past.
There's so many different, iterations of RC. Like, she's been blue, she's been red, she's been pink. Like,
yeah.
It, like, the color doesn't really matter too much for me. I like that they didn't just go with the pink.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just like, I'm so, everyone is tired of the Smurfette principle, and it's just the token girl, and she is able to surpass that to an extent. Yeah, and I mean,
RC is also the second in command, so it makes sense that she's a little bit more.
Which, we saw some more transformation from her.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Yeah. What's the last one?
Standout performance.
This is a tough one. I think the kid, the little brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the little brother.
Yeah, Dean Scott Vasquez.
Yeah.
Honorable mention, Michelle Yeoh.
Yes. Oh, fucking Michelle Yeoh. She, every line is fucking gold.
Yeah.
I want to see a drama with her and, and
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
I do wish that Scourge was a little bit less one-dimensional as a character, but as the Herald of Unicron, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I can't fault that too much. Peter Dinklage voicing Scourge was fucking amazing.
Was very good. He melted into that role.
Yeah.
Which is like what I was saying about Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
I
feel like pretty much all of the voice actors for the Transformers.
Yeah.
Pretty much did, both in Bumblebee and in this.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But it just... This movie's good.
Yeah.
Obviously, we only have one other movie to compare it to, which is Bumblebee, so it's obviously coming in second.
Yeah, I mean, Bumblebee is just... I can't imagine any of the other Transformers movies surpassing Bumblebee.
Never.
Like, it's not
Will never happen.
It's not gonna happen.
I will say, tentatively, right now, I will give my Transformers movie ranking, which will be Bumblebee, Dark of the Moon, Rise of the Beasts, 07, Age of Extinction, Revenge of the Fallen, The Last Disappointment.
Okay.
I can't call it The Last Night. Mm. I can't. It's The Last fucking Disappointment. The Last goddamn straw.
Mm. Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg was The Last Night.
So I'm told.
So bad.
We will spend a good 15 to 30 minutes just talking about Mark Wahlberg when we get to those movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. Links will be into the description of this episode for links to our what the fuck do we have? Instagram, websites, and our Discord. If you'd like to come chat with us, hang out, give us movie recommendations.
Ask us questions about our opinions on Transformers, because I cannot reciprocate the
So here's the thing. You
debate.
Do that, and you're going to be like locked into like a three-hour-long discussion with me about anything.
So be warned.
Be warned. I don't have a lot of free time, but I will make free time. If it means talking about Transformers shit, I am in.
Thank you for listening. Next week?
Next week will be Transformers 2007.
Yeah. I'm going to start by complaining about the movie poster, because it was so... Oh, we'll get into it.
You mean the Megatron Optimus
No, it was just like... that period of time with movies, no one knew how to make a movie poster.
Nobody still knows how to make a movie poster.
No, but they've gotten better at it, comparatively. Before, it was just the main characters' faces on a poster, but the two main characters, the actors weren't well-known, so they just put Optimus Prime's face up and looking out, because they didn't like... It was
I mean, is Optimus not the main character?
Is he?
He should be.
He should be. Exactly.
He should be.
All right, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Share this episode with a friend if you could. It would really help us out. 5-star reviews would also be absolutely amazing.
It really would.
Thank you guys so much. Till all are one.
I wanted to ask.